And we are celebrating as we see the progress happening. But there's also some reality sets in, because every week the construction company gives us a stack of bills that we go over very carefully, and then we pass them on to our treasurer. Last week it was $38,000 that went out. And so we're praying that October will come and this building's completed before the money's depleted. And to that end, if anyone would like to celebrate by giving, by all means, you haven't had an opportunity to take one of our envelopes that we've asked people to give by the end of October, over the next 3 or 4 months. If you would take one of these envelopes, whatever God lays on your heart to give, because if we give, I just believe God's going to allow this project to be completed to his honor and glory. It's a place where we can minister from. Now, I just mentioned something else. This week, a couple that attend the third service, I'm not sure they've ever been to the first and second service, because there's a whole group of people that come to the third service, Spanish people speaking. Many of them understand English, but some of them just understand Spanish, but they love God and God's using them and the church is growing in our third service. But one of the couples came in to see me this week and was sharing with me a vision that God, they felt the Lord had given them. And the vision was to pray for the city of Kitchener and to actually to spread it out to other cities. And it was patterned after Israel taking the city of Jericho. Some of you, if you've been into the church a little bit, you understand when someone says, we did a Jericho. Well, what's a Jericho? Israel marched around the city of Jericho one day, or one time each day for 7 days. And on the seventh day, they marched around seven times. The walls fell. They went in and they conquered the city. And so they said they felt the Lord put on their heart that we need to conquer the city for the Lord. And we need to cast down every enemy, whether it be prostitution, drugs, whatever is destroying people in the city, that would be cast down. They put together a video. Very gifted couple. And I was excited to see what they had done. And they have organized an event, August 25th to the 31st, the last days of August. And what they have done is encouraging people to come on those nights, 7 p.m., starting August 25th, to come down to the city hall. It's no service, no thing other than gathering people, and then to walk around the block where city hall is in Kitchener, and just to pray for the city. And doing that for 7 days, and on the seventh day, I'm going to walk around that block seven times, praying and believing God. You know, they put together a video. We'll try to show you the video next week. Put together a video. They want to get different churches involved, and then they want to have it spread to other cities where they begin to believe. You know, prayer changes things. And, you know, it's following what God says to us. And, you know, and sometimes, oh, I don't know, I want to do that. But then you have to ask yourself, does prayer have an effect? And what if a group of people walked around the symbol of our city, the city hall, just praying? And they told me, they said, we actually went in, got permission, because they wanted the city to know what was happening, these people walking around. And they said, sure, that's fine. And so everything has been arranged. So just want you to be aware of that, August 25th. And it's another indication that God is using us and individuals, families in our church to make a difference in our world. And I thank you, Lord. I thank the Lord for this couple that are trying to respond in just a simple way what God has put on their heart. All right. This morning, I want to share the word of the Lord with you, and I want to talk to you from Matthew chapter 13. It's a parable that Jesus gave, and it's the parable of the sower. Now, there's an insert in your bulletin. If you want to take it out, follow along, fill in the blanks as we go. Now, this is a very familiar portion of Scripture. If you're a Christian and read the Scripture about the four kinds of soils that the sower sows into. But, you know, I was looking at this recently, and it struck me how important this portion of Scripture is. this portion of Scripture is much more powerful, much more significant than I believe many of us have given it. And I hope by the end of this message this morning that you will agree with me. Now, let's just read it, Matthew 13. Refresh its content in our hearts. Matthew 13, verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then Jesus later in this chapter goes back and he explains the parable. And I'm so glad he did. You know, some parables it's not explained in the Bible. And so we have to just sort of ourselves say, okay, but this is what he was trying to say. But it's good that we have Jesus commenting on his own message and what he was trying to say. And in fact, before he did so, he said that this was an important insight. Now, we'll get to that in a moment. But I want to read the interpretation here, starting at verse 18. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. He who has received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now those are the two portions. Verses 3 to verse 9 is the parable. Verses 18 to 23, he explains it. Now there's some intervening verses here. And the intervening verses say this, starting at verse 16. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." So that really stood out to me. He gives them the parable, and then in between he says, you know, you're seeing here something. I'm going to, if I paraphrase it, I'm going to be sharing something with you now that a lot of people wish they had seen. A lot of righteous people. I wish prophets wished they understood how this worked out. But he said, you're blessed because I'm going to explain it to you. And then he goes on to explain the parable. So your first fill-in on your sheet is these verses share hidden truths of spiritual effectiveness. Hidden truths of spiritual effectiveness. Now I want you to see this. When you take a small seed, say a little kernel of corn, and you plant it in the soil, you watch its development over the next 3 months. That little kernel in the ground grows up, as the song says, as high as an elephant's eye. And you are amazed. I remember as a child, you know, seeing the garden and planting our family garden, putting corn in, and seeing this huge stalk and thinking to myself, how did that huge stalk with leaves and, you know, it's hard even to break the stalk. It's over my head as a kid. How did that all come out of that kernel? How did that kernel expand to be that big. Now, here's the whole principle. And this is a principle of spiritual growth. This parable is telling us how to be fruitful, how to bear fruit that God would want and endure. The seed of itself will not produce it. It's the seed in the soil that produces it. The seed actually, listen, transforms the soil into a living plant that produces fruit. Now, this is the mystery of spiritual growth. The seed of God's life being planted in our hearts that produces fruit. The combination of the two together produces fruit. How is it that we as human beings can become spiritual beings and produce spiritual fruit that's not from ourselves, and yet it is from us, but it's not from us, but something has been planted in us that actually changes and transforms us and produces something spiritual? This is a mystery. But we're going to gain insights in this parable of how it all works. Now, we're going to come back to that in a moment, but the next fill-in is the progression of development is shown in 2 Peter. And here's the portion of Scripture that shows the progression of to fruitfulness. What is fruit? I mean, what are we trying to produce here? 2 Peter 1 and verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, notice that word, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that should be our goal. That God looks at us and he says, man, that's exactly what I desired. That's the fruit that I want to come out of your life. Notice the progression from faith, how it first is conceived. Faith, then virtue. And then on the progression as it moves forward to knowledge. Knowledge, self-control. Self-control, perseverance. Notice that word. We're going to come back to it in a moment. Perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness. And then to brotherly kindness, actually moving to a place of love, God's agape love, an unselfish love, a self-giving love where you lay down your life for someone else. This is the progression. This is what God wants. How many would like to be married to someone that has that kind of love produced in their life? See, we all want to be married to that person, but we need to realize the person we're married to wishes we were that kind of person. We would like to have a fellow worker like this. We'd like to have a neighbor like this. We want our children to be like this. You know, the goal we all want. We want this kindness and brotherly love and then love, a sacrificial love. We know the world will be so much better. And this is what God desires. So how do we get it? This parable shows how we get it. Now, let's just identify the characteristics here. The sower is the Son of God. Is Jesus. The word, or the seed, is the word of God, it says. Speaking the words, principles, insights that God has, and he wants to plant those things by his Spirit. Where does he plant it? And this is the thing to see. What is the soil? Jesus says, it's those who plant the soil in your heart. And the wicked one comes and snatches the seed off of their heart. So the soil is our heart. Our heart. The center of your being, the center of your affection, the essence of you that goes past your intellect, goes past emotion, down to the core of your being, your heart. Scripture says God has put eternity in our hearts. There's something that connects with God in our heart. That's where the seed bed is. He talks to your heart. Now, when that seed gets into your heart, and here's your next fill-in, we've already mentioned it, the seed transforms the soil into a living plant that produces fruit. it's not the soil that says, I see the stalk and I see the ear of corn, so I've got to try to make myself into an ear of corn. I mean, the effort would be fruitless, literally, without no pun, fruitless. You might even get a form of it, but it wouldn't have any life, wouldn't be real. You can have plastic fruit, but it's not real. Can look like it, but it's not real. There's something of the seed in the soil of your heart that transforms you and makes you a different person. It's not your self-effort, but it's in the power of the seed. There's a life in the seed. Now, I want you to know, God is sowing that seed, and the sower is indiscriminate. He doesn't just say, well, I'm going to give a little bit there, and I'll pass that person over, and a little bit there. No, he just casts the seed everywhere. Goes on wayside soil, goes on stony soil, goes on thorny soil, goes on good soil. I mean, he just casts it out. There's no lack of seed in the world. God has poured out his spirit on this whole world. He's willing that everyone, all the barriers have been broken down when Jesus died on the cross. He made a way for us all. The word of God is going forward. It's going forward this morning. Now, here's the thing. And it's your next fill-in. It is not the seed that determines the harvest, but the condition of the soil. It's not the seed that determines the harvest. It's the condition of the soil. There's power in every seed. I read about some of the archaeologists opening up the pyramids that had been sealed for thousands of years, and they found jars with seeds in it. They've taken the seeds and planted them. And it grew. I mean, it just blows my mind. Here's a seed lying dormant for thousands of years, but as soon as it's put in the soil, the right soil, it generates and brings forth a life. See, there's nothing wrong with God's word. The problem is that some people put it on the shelf of their lives for years and nothing happens. It has to get into the soil of our hearts. And so Jesus, in this parable, he's saying, okay, I'm going to tell you some things here. I'm going to share some principles. A lot of people would like to know. It's been hidden, but I'm going to share it. Your eyes are going to see it. And then he said at the end of the parable, he said, if you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to you. Now, there's one other verse in Proverbs, chapter 4 in verse 23, and it says this: keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. The most important thing you can do is keep your heart, because everything of life springs out of your heart. So you have to be diligent. You have to keep it, watch it, guard it. Because everything of God springs out of it. I wonder if before we go any further and get into these soils, we could just pray a prayer together. You just put your hand on your heart. Lord, open our hearts this morning. Open our hearts. We want to hear your word. Your word's going to go forward today. We want hearts that are receptive, hearts that will be open to receive your word, that would bear fruit, that would be to your honor and your glory. I pray it and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let's get into this now and see the different conditions of the soil of our hearts. Here's the first one: the wayside soil. Wayside soil. I grew up on a farm, so when I talk about this whole matter of sowing and everything, I mean, there's real pictures in my mind, and many of you the same, where you have a garden. The wayside is the place where people walk, where the traveled area is, the wayside soil. It's been packed down, trampled on. So now when the seed is sown on the wayside soil, Jesus gave the parable, it sits on the surface, then the birds come, snatches it away, so it doesn't bear any fruit. So your fill-in is hard hearts. The wayside soil is hard hearts that are resistant to spiritual insights. Resistant, hardened, not receptive. Now, when Jesus explained it, he said they don't understand it. Now, here's the key. Here's a key insight. The things of God are usually just the opposite of our natural inclination. It goes opposite of the things and ideas that people have put in your head. It goes opposite of the philosophies of this world. There's a number of examples. We think if we're going to be respected and honored, well, then we should be revered and lifted up, you know, and so forth. But Jesus says, if you humble yourself, then I will exalt you. He said he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It's the humble person that in God's sight becomes exalted. We think if I give, I have less. And it's better for someone to give me something than to give someone else something. And yet the principle is, give and it shall be given unto you. The same measure you use to give, it's going to come back to you. This is a spiritual truth. Now, wayside soil will reject that because, well, I hear it. It's sort of impacted my life. And we might even almost accept it for a moment. Well, that's what the Bible says. But it never penetrates our life. It never produces any actions in us. Every action still is, if I give, I have less. We're still happier when someone gives me something to someone. I still gauge when there's a need. And it's a good need, but, well, I'd like to give, but I can't. I can't because I'm going to have less. We don't gather that principle that really it's better to give than to receive. It's in my giving that I'm going to open myself to receive an abundance. It's like it says in Malachi, if we bring the tithes into the storehouse, into the church, then he opens the windows of heaven and pours us out blessings. But we don't see that. We don't understand it. It goes against my natural thinking. It goes against what other people tell me. See, there's a lot of people walking in your life. Walking in the soil of your life. And you're being impacted by movies and television and books and by your friends and talk TV. And you have a philosophy. The philosophies of the world, which the Bible says, beware the philosophies of the world because they're going to hinder you from this spiritual growth. So you got to be careful and say, who's walking in my life? Where did I get that idea? Why am I rejecting this spiritual principle? The Bible says to forgive your enemies, to love your enemies, to do good for to those who spitefully use you. But if someone uses us wrong, has talked about us, criticized us, judged us, spoke behind our back, cut the ground out of from under me at work, well, my reaction is, I'm going to get even with them. The Bible says, no, you should just do the other, you should bless them and do something good for them. Now, if you're wayside soil, that truth will just sit there. Then the enemy comes and snatches that which would have bared fruit in your life, that would have healed the relationship, that would have made things better. I had one good person say to me not too long ago about forgiveness and said, well, if I forgave him, it's just then I'm saying everything's okay. See, there was still something in there of a philosophy of the world that says, I can't forgive. I got to make sure they know they're wrong and they need to be punished to a certain extent so they know they're wrong And if maybe if they really humbled themselves and came and asked for forgiveness, then I might consider it. Yeah, I'm talking about a philosophy of the world that's our natural thinking. We just have to realize that is wayside soil, trafficked by the philosophies of this world, things people have said to us, and it's conditioned your heart to be hard, not to be receptive. I remember a couple coming years ago, and they have started hundreds of churches, but they just came out of the world, and they got saved, and they came here, and they were ministering. And I still remember the couple, and they talked about when they first got saved, they were so excited. Said they'd get in bed at night, and they'd read the Bible. And they made this agreement that whatever the Bible said they were going to do. And they said, we'd be excited. We're reading the scripture. It was all fresh and new. Whatever it said, they acted on it. They didn't say, oh, well, I don't think that'll work. Well, I think that's a little extreme. You see, that couple went on to be called into the ministry and start hundreds of churches. But it started with a soft heart, and they talked about how it healed their marriage. I mean, they were at each other all the time. But because they both started to do what the Bible said they should do, husband starting to treat the wife he should, the wife treating the husband the way that he should, that it healed and it brought a fruit. But see, we hardened ourselves. See, the worst thing you can have is a hard heart. Don't hard heart. But see, hurt will harden your heart. Offenses in the natural will harden your heart. Unless you keep your heart with all diligence. Unless you're aware of it, that over and over again, this word diligence, which means being intentional, you have to do something. Don't allow your heart to get hard to the things of God. Always be open and say, yeah, no, boy, that really blows me away. I would never think that. See, the thing is, the things of God you'll never fall into because they're opposite of what you think. I think to get to heaven, I got to be good enough. And yet the Bible teaches we all sinned, all come short. You can't be good enough. You just have to humble yourself, receive salvation. See, that's a spiritual truth. It goes against my natural thinking. Religion says be good enough. I don't want to get into it and get too deep into this. But I want you to see how this is so important. See, I used to think all of my heart is either wayside, all of my heart is stony, all of my heart is thorny, or all of my heart is good soil. What I've learned as I've gotten older, my heart is a mixture. There are some areas it's good, other areas it's wayside, other areas it's stony, other areas it's thorny. And so these things we're talking about, it may not apply to every area of your life or everything that God says to you, but it applies to you the area where you don't have fruit. See, what area of your life are you dissatisfied with? You say, boy, that needs to change. See, we think God's got to do something. And God's saying, I've got the seed right there. You just got it laying on your heart. You've never applied it. You can verbalize it, but you can't. You're not applying it. You're not being intentional. You're not plowing your heart. You're not disking your heart. See, I grew up on a farm. You plowed it in the fall. You disked it in the spring. You sowed it, and then the light harrows over to cover the seed. We're not doing that. We're just waiting for God to do something. Why doesn't he do something? And he's saying it's your heart. It's not me. It's your heart is determining it. So we have to soften our hearts. Be diligent about it. Let's move quickly. I said to Larry this morning, he asked me what I was speaking. I said, you know what? This message could be 4 weeks, could be a four-part message. So we're just scratching the surface this morning, and I'm going to move more quickly in these next three. But you take it home. You think about it. You gain the application. Let me just put the key into these verses and open them a little bit. Enough that you say, man, these are powerful verses. This is what determines my fruitfulness. I never realized that. I thought it was something else. And Jesus is saying, it's right here in front of you. Many people wish they'd seen this. I'm sharing it with you. This is a parable I'm explaining to you so you understand how the principles of spiritual growth. We're talking about the principles, the eternal principles of spiritual growth, how you become a different person, how Christ grows in you, how your life is transformed, how you have the fruit in your life that you want and everyone around you wants. He's unveiling them, revealing them right here. All right, let's go to the next one. I guess I turned the page. Well, I have fill-ins here, so I'm going to have to give you the fill-in. The enemy snatches the seed away and you become inoculated to it in the future. We're still on this point. You see, if you hear something and you don't apply it, you're in a very dangerous position because you've been exposed to it, but you never caught it. And that's what inoculation do. They give you a little bit of the disease. And so because you've just got a tiny bit of it, you build up the resistance, you overcome it. Now later, when you get the full-blown strand of it, now your body has built up a resistance and you can overcome it. You become inoculated. Now that's great in the physical, but that's bad in the spiritual. You're in a very dangerous situation when you can verbalize a truth, but you haven't applied it. Because the next time God wants to speak to you, your heart is hardened, and the potency or the possibility of that seed lodging in your heart becomes harder. When I talk about keep your heart, here's one way to keep it. Act on everything you know God wants you to do. Then you're keeping your heart soft, and now you're responding to it. All right, let's move to the next one. Stony soil. Here's your fill-in. A stony heart is a self-centered heart. Self-centered heart. The stony soil had a skiff of soil, but underneath was a mantle of rock or stone. So Jesus said when the seed fell, it quickly took root, started to grow. But then when the sun came out, it scorched the plant and it withered. He said, this is someone who quickly responds, but it has no root in himself. And when the trials come and the persecution comes, the person gives up, and they give up because it's no longer to their benefit. Now, there's always felt needs when we come to God. I need a healing, so I give my heart to the Lord. I have a financial problem, so I come to the Lord. Or I fear meeting God, and I need my sins forgiven, so I come to God. There's felt needs in coming to the Lord. And that always starts that way. And that seed falls in it. But the roots need to go deeper than self-interest. Jesus said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What does it mean to take up your cross? You die to your ideas, your opinions, what you want, what you think should happen. And you die to all of that so that you just say, Lord, I give it in your hands. You know better than I know. Many Christians have never crossed that. There are many Christians who still are in it for what God does for them. But as soon as it comes to a matter of sacrifice, boy, I'm serving God and I still don't have my finances turned around. We go through a sickness or some kind of relational problem. And you go, man, what's this all about? I thought God, and we're praying, but our prayers aren't answered. Certainly not in the way we want. So what do we do then? We get mad at God. When you're mad at God, it's an indication of a stony heart. You're still looking at what God can do for you. You've never really said, "It's no longer about me, Lord, it's about what you want to do. I trust you beyond my understanding. I trust you above what I think you should do in my life. Lord, my life is in your hands." See, if you never turn that over, when the trial comes and the temptation comes, you will complain about the sun. "Well, I don't know why the sun's got to be so hot. I don't know why it's so scorching. Look, it's drying me up. If the sun would just be softer, if it just rained more, I'd be okay. Why is the sun doing this to me?" We're always complaining about the circumstances. But here's the other person over here going through the same situation, but they're in good soil. Now when the sun comes, it causes their roots to go deeper, digging down into the moisture of the deep soil. And now the sun is just stimulating growth, not shriveling them up. This is eternal truth, folks. This is something that we need to understand. Ask yourself, where am I complaining about God? What am I complaining about my circumstances? We need to understand God works all things together for good. People can mean things for evil, but God means them for good. You have to come to a place of peace where you're trusting God. You let your roots go down. Otherwise, you've got a mantle of self there that when the roots come up to it, and this is the sad thing, in this situation, it says the plant dies. Because you've never got past yourself and you really haven't given yourself to God. You're just looking for God to do something for you. Now, God does do something for us, but it must transform and change where I give my life to God unreservedly. Okay. Let's go to the next one. The thorny soil. And Jesus said it as clear as anybody. The thorns are the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches. The cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches. Thorny soil is a distracted heart. A distracted heart. A weed, if you remember back to your grade school years, it said a weed is not a bad plant, it's just a plant out of place. It's just not to be there. Because what a weed does, a thorn does, it saps the soil of its energy, its nutrients, and its moisture. And what should have been going into the good plant now is siphoned off into this other plant. It's not that it's a bad plant. Jesus said it's just the cares of life. You just get busy. I've got to do this. I got to run there. I got to take the kids over here. I got to plan that. I got to get the tires changed. It's got, you know, on and on and on. The cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches. The way you get things in this world is money and riches. It's the medium of exchange. So the natural thinking is, if I've got enough money, I can meet all my needs. And that's the deceitfulness of riches. I'll be happy if I win the lottery. That's a deceit. Happiness doesn't come with money. But you long for money. You put other things aside for money. You make your decisions based on money. And it's a deceit. And it siphons that which should be going into the spiritual plant, and it makes it unfruitful. Didn't say it killed it. Makes it unfruitful. The stony ground hinders the development of the roots. Thorny ground hinders the development of the fruit. You're still, and see, we look at Christians. There's some Christians you look at and they seem to be flourishing and they bear much fruit. And you look at others and you think, my, their life hardly has changed at all. They're truly Christians. Not much happening. Jesus is explaining these principles. He's saying, this is it. It's the condition of the soil. And so we have to come to a place where we cultivate our life, where we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, it doesn't mean that you don't have things. It just means that things don't have you. If you're looking to own things, those things will own you. But if you seek first the kingdom of God, keep the main thing, the Bible says God adds other things to us. Your ministry, the things you are putting yourself into as far as vocation or work, it takes time. But if that becomes the garden of your life, then it'll sap the spiritual energy. But if it's the platform of your life, so that God will be seen through me, then yes, as you're putting time into your career and vocation or other things, but your whole motivation is to seek first the kingdom of God, you're doing it for His honor and His glory, then He will add all these other things to you. Last night, if you follow me on Facebook, we went to the Tiger Cat game in Hamilton and enjoyed the game. After the game, that was a faith and family night, and so we went down on the field, and they had 5 Tiger Cat players come out and share their faith in the Lord. And one of the men, I forget his name, but I remembered him because he scored one of the touchdowns. And after he scored the touchdown, on the scoreboard, it showed him sitting on the bench, you know, referring to the touchdown. And he was, and I noticed that his eyes were just bright. And I remember thinking to myself, "Boy, he's got bright eyes." I didn't realize that he was one of the ones that came out to share his faith in the Lord. And when they closed, they said, you know, what would you leave with the people? And this is what he shared. And it fits right here. He said, you know, as being in football like this, he said, it can take your whole life. But he said, I want football to be a platform where I can serve God from and be a witness for God. And I thought, that's exactly what it is. That turns a thorn, that could be a thorn, where you'll takes all your time and energy to be this person, be a good football player, be seen, be get all the acknowledgement, asking God to make me a better football player, to just being a platform. Here's a platform I can speak to people, talk to people, witness to people. And as a result, it doesn't sap, it just all goes into the good fruit that God wants to have in our life. Okay, let's look to the last one. Good soil. What's good soil? A good heart is a cultivated heart. Cultivated heart. I've already mentioned, you have to prepare soil. You plow it, you disc it, you prepare it. A lot of times you take the stones out. Many times, we had the tractor with the bucket and go down through fields. And when I was a kid, you know, someone would be driving the tractor, and we'd be throwing rocks into the front end loader of the tractor as we're going through the field. Why? We're clearing the stones out of the field so it could bear a better crop. You have to cultivate the soil for it to be good soil. How are you keeping your heart? Is your heart cultivated, or is it being trampled down by the philosophies of the world? Is there still an element of self-interest in everything that you say and do, the stony ground? Are you distracted? There's so many things taking your attention that, I love God. I look at my good plant here. Yeah, that's a good plant. It's got nice green leaves, but really there's no fruit on it. You're just sort of a Christian. I can identify as a Christian. But God's not pleased. Or are you cultivating your heart, keeping your heart with all diligence, because out of it is going to spring the issues of life? That's what we know. Now, how do you cultivate it? 3 things, and we'll just close with this. You need to cultivate it by prayer, Bible study, fellowship with God's people. These are instruments to cultivate the soil. Notice, these things are not life. You could do all these things, but there's no seed of God's life. It doesn't matter. These are not things you do to please God. These are things you do to get your heart soft and pliable, so when He plants seeds, it will produce fruit. So it's being in the Word of God and desiring it. And you say, well, I tried to read the Bible. I have no interest in it. Well, cultivate an interest in it. You're very gracious this morning. You're following me here. But this is so important, this issue. Well, I don't like reading the Bible. I don't get anything out of it. Well, then cultivate it. Get something else. Find a Bible study. Be with a group of people that work that, and you get the truths and the insights out of it. There's lots of good books, Christian books, that's based on the scripture that when you, I mean, just start reading Joyce Meyer, John Bevere. Just start reading some authors that unfold the Word of God. Listen to Life in Balance on the radio. Pray. So, well, I have a hard time praying. Every time I get down on my knees hurt, I lose it. Well, don't get down on your knees then. Go out and walk and pray and talk to God, walking along a path. Cultivate an interest because you have a desire, because it's important to you. See, don't just let it sit on the surface of your life. I mean, we have something to do. There's a diligence. And then fellowship with God's people. I tell you, that is something that, I've said it many times here. If there's one thing I would say to a family that wants to follow God and you want your children to follow the Lord, be part of a church. I don't mean just attending on Sundays. Be part of the living thrust of the church. Get your heart connected with other hearts. Get involved. Share your gift. Do something. Fellowship. Being together with other Christians. Opening your heart. Carrying someone else in your heart. And someone else is carrying you in their heart. That's a body. Not just, okay, I go to church on Sunday. See, some people could come to church every Sunday and still not fellowship with God's people. You see, it's not what we do outwardly, it's a condition of the heart. Is your heart connecting with other people? Are you gleaning someone else praying for you and with you, and are you sharing insights with someone? Do you have a spiritual friend? Do you have a spiritual mentor? Have you given someone the right to correct you as a Christian? You don't need too many of those, but you do need some. It cultivates your heart. When your heart's cultivated, then it's soft to the penetration of God's seeds that he's constantly sowing. And I tell you, it will bear fruit in every area of your life, in your relationships, in your finances, in the development of your ministry and your career and your vocation. God just wants to bless you. But we have to get the seeds into the soil where it transforms us. Would you stand with me this morning? I think one of the most probing verses in the Bible that still grabs me every time I read it is a very simple verse. It says, my son, give me your heart. My daughter, give me your heart. Have you ever given your heart to God? I mean, really done it. I mean, I don't mean just a prayer. Prayers are good. Prayers can be an expression of it, but it's not the prayer. It's when you really give your heart to God. God's speaking to us today. Do you hear his voice? He's saying, give me your heart. Give me your heart. I want to produce something in you. I want to produce life in you. I want to produce fruit in you. I want to transform you into another person But you have to give them your heart. Give them your offenses, your hurts. Give them all your ideas. And just say, God, you know what? I'm surrendering. I've stood on the edge too long. I've dabbled on the fringe too long. Everyone else, they see the good plant and they think I'm fruitful, but I know I'm not. Lord, I give you my heart. If you really want to do that this morning, would you just put your hand on your heart? The other hand, just lift to the Lord. And I'm just going to pray for us. Lord, we want to give you our hearts fresh and anew today, in a deeper way than we've ever done before. A way that's deep and real and meaningful. We give you our heart. We open our heart to you. Penetrate our hearts with your life. Be born afresh in us. Plant your spirit within us, Lord. Make us the people you want us to be. We pray it sincerely in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, God's spoken to us today. We're going to dismiss you, allow you to go. If you'd like to have prayer, just come up and meet with us. If